Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
It's Saturday, and that means it's time for another edition of Listen In with KNN. Now, today, I hope you guys have your pencils and pens ready because I'm bringing someone with a lot of knowledge and wisdom to join me as my special guest. Today's special guest will be the one and only the athletic director of Bowie State University, Cloud Daddy Jr., who will be joining me to talk everything BSU football. Of course, today they're playing in a playoff game, hoping to beat Delta State. So you all are in for a good one, as this is the official kickoff show to today's playoff game. So you guys know what it means. That means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in. As I like to do every show, I like to kick it off with Kelsey's Do Good Sports Person of the Week. Now, today I have the privilege and honor of introducing Mr. Larry White Sr., the CEO and founder of VIP Events and Concierge. Now, I have personal experience doing good work with Mr. Larry White, which is why I'm so excited to award him today, because if you've been in the DMV area, I don't know how you don't know Larry, because he does so much good in the community, giving back to children and people in need. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Larry White to the show. Larry, how are you?
I'm doing well, Kelsey. Thank you for having me on today.
No problem. Thanks for coming on. And just so people know, give us a little synopsis about your company.
Absolutely. We have been in business here in the DMV area for 7 years. We are a full-service concierge, event planning, and transportation company serving Richmond to New York. And much like you said earlier at the top, we do a lot of social events, a lot of community events, because I believe if you're going to be successful in business, you need to give back to the community to employ and empower the community by economic development and doing so events to help out young millennials to be entrepreneurs.
Wonderfully said. And tell us a little bit about past community events that you've done, and then also tell us about what we can look forward to in the future from community events from your organization.
Oh, great question, Kelsey. As you participated a few years ago, we have our annual Black History Program where we do that statewide in Maryland, and we've also added scholarship funding to that, educating youth and adults on American history as well as Black history. So we do that annually. Also, our annual backpack drive for Title I schools. And coming up December 9th, this will be our 7th year during our holiday cocktail reception and toy drive, where we will, the recipients this year will be Sarah's House, the Battered Women's Shelter in the Fort Meade area, and also the Children's Hospital of Washington, D.C. will be recipients, the youth there. So those are some of the things, some of our signature programs and outreach that we do throughout the year.
Wonderful. I know the toy drive is coming up, so can you give a little bit more information, such as where it will be, how people can participate, since obviously the holidays are right around the corner. So I think the viewers would love to hear just how could they get involved with some of the great things that you're doing, such as the toy drive.
Absolutely, Kelsey, and thank you. The toy drive this year will be December 9th at Chef Jeff's restaurant in Northwest D.C., 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. You can go online to our website, VIP Events, with an S. That's VIPEventsConcierge.com/upcoming events to register, donate, be a sponsor. And we're also going to be honoring some entrepreneurs to give back to the community. Dr. Christine Handy out of Montgomery County, she will be receiving the Educator of the Year of the award in the DMV. We have R&B sensation and legend Stacey Ladislaw Jackson that will be receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award. So we'll be honoring some entrepreneurs who have done well in business, as stated before, but also give back to the community. It'll be a red carpet event, cash bar, door prizes. So something you just don't want to miss from a business owner standpoint. Those striving to be a business owner will have some power networking and things of that nature. So looking forward to seeing everybody December 9th at Chef Jeff's.
Thank you so much, Larry, for sharing that information. Thank you so much for the good that you do in the community. I feel like it's people like you, you know, that make the world a better place. So congratulations once again on being Kelsey's Do Good Sports Person of the Week. And with that, I will now take you all to a quick commercial break before we introduce my very special guest for today.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites. From their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes, Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch, and if you desire a fresh handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when...
Welcome back to Listen In with K&N as I prepare to welcome today's very special guest to the show. But first, let me give you a quick synopsis about the university he represents. Yes, I'm about to go in and talk about the one and only Bowie State University. Now, if you didn't know, Bowie State University is building a dynamic future on a proud heritage. The university was founded back in 1865, get this, making Bowie State one of the oldest historically black college and university and the entire state of Maryland, the ethnic and cultural background. So yes to this diversity. As a member institution of the University System of Maryland, Bowie State upholds the system's mission of providing high caliber, accessible, and affordable educational opportunities. Now enough about the university, let's prepare to welcome today's very special guest to the show. But first let me read his very impressive background so you know his credentials. Clyde Dowdy Jr. began his tenure as the Director of Intercollegiate Athletics at Bowie State University back in January of 2015. In his basketball career, the Bears made it to the National Collegiate Athletic Association, the NCAA Division II tournament in 1978 and 1980, but in 1980 they did lose the national championship game to Virginia Union. After graduating, Dowdy became the academic advisor to student athletes in 1982. In 1984, he was appointed the Assistant Director of Athletics, and in 1988, he succeeded Dr. William T. Lai as Director of Athletics and Recreation. Dowdy counts among his intercollegiate athletic achievements the enhancing of NYIT's athletic department, organizational structure and stability, and improving the academic performances of NYT student athletes. Now, Dowdy, who earned his bachelor's degree in business management and has two master's degrees from NYIT, one in human resource management and one in human relations. And if that's not enough for you, he's also currently pursuing a doctoral degree in educational leadership at Bowie State University. In 2017, Dowdy was selected as the Athletic Director of the Year for the CIAA and was also inducted into the inaugural East Coast Conference ECC Hall of Fame. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. Clyde Dowdy Jr. to the show. Clyde, welcome.
Thank you, Kelsey. Listening to you talk about the bio, I always tell people if you are in this business long enough, you don't piss off enough people, you'll do some good things.
And you did a lot. And for the listeners listening, I had to cut out a lot of your bio. You've done so much. So that tells you just the length of what you're doing.
It's been a wonderful moment.
Oh, my gosh. Well, again, I'm so honored to have you. I know all of Bulldog Nation is excited to have you on this show. It's long overdue, but without further ado, let's get into the show because I have a lot of questions for you, but nothing too hard that you can't handle for the first. I think you can handle anything with, you know, your success in athletics. But my first question to you is, since you became the athletic director at Bowie State University, what accomplishments are you most proud of? And then the second part to that question is, what have been the biggest challenges?
Well, you know, when you're coming from one institution to another institution, you have to come in and not make these overriding changes in what's going on. You have to learn the culture. And I was at a traditionally white institution coming to an HBCU. It's a different culture. So you have to make those adjustments. I went from a private institution to a public institution. So now I had to make that adjustment, which I think was even greater going from a TWI to a HBCU. But having said that, I think I don't like to make changes. I like to make improvements and adjustments because they've already got a great system here, a university system that works really well. That's why we're having the success that we're having athletically, because it's all one unit here at Bowie State University. But it's like the hand. We're separated like fingers and involved. But when we clench our fists, we're a powerful force of efficiency.
Right, all together, yeah.
Well, we are all together here, and it has come to this point of confluence that we have had success from a lot of different areas, namely one, academics, because that's where it all starts. That's why anybody goes to college, is to have academic success. So that's our number one mission, is to make sure our students come in here, they're ready and prepared for the rigors of academics. Then we want to socially prepare them for all the things that are going and the various different elements, the diverse elements that are out there in society. And after that, if we do those first two things, the athletic part is easier than most people would think, because if you prepare those students academically and they're socially ready, they're disciplined enough to do what you want them to do athletically, because they all want to participate in athletics. So we're just following that path. Had some great coaches here, and Damon Wilson, who as you know, is doing a yeoman's job with the basketball team.
Yes.
Daryl Brooks with basketball, men's basketball. Sade Swan, who came on under after I started the women's basketball program, and they've done a great job. She's done a great job with her and her coaching staff with that program. So we got our bowling team has done great. So it's a great community that we have here as we move forward into the future.
Right. I mean, you guys have so much going on, but I have to say, out of what you just said, I love the academic part. I think far too often in the news, we keep hearing about these fraudulent classes athletes are taking, you know, all types of academic problems going on. But I love that you focus on the student part of athlete first, because it seems like you're trying to create the whole student athlete at Bowie State University. And that leads me to my next question, because I think that probably comes from you being a former student athlete. So do you think you being a former student athlete has had any impact on your style of leadership as an athletic director?
Absolutely. It's interesting you asked that question. The other day on our athletic director's call from the conference, that was brought up, how most of us and all of us are former student athletes in one form or fashion.
Okay.
So that has helped us understand what these young men and women are going through. Although it's a period thing, you know, I was a student athlete many moons ago, but you still have the same values as a student athlete. Times have changed, and things are around you, and technology has been involved, and there's new fangled this, and the rules have changed a little bit. But the basic tenets of athletics is the same thing. You show up to practice, you're disciplined enough to go through the rigors of an athletic season, which can be very demanding, especially when you're a freshman coming in and you've had limited games in high school. Now you have more games now. So we have to prepare our students in a lot of different ways, Kelsey. So it takes a village to raise a child, and that's what we try to do each and every day until they're strong enough to stand on their own and with less support, not limited support, but less support, because now they understand the dynamics of being in a college environment, just not from an athletic perspective, but from a residential life perspective, from a student life perspective, from an academic perspective, because that builds the character of each and every one of these students. Because what we're doing, and I get away from people saying, well, prepare them for the real life, but this is their real life, and we have to make sure that they understand that the values that they have and the opportunities that they have right now, and build values in them right now, so they now, when they move to the next level of their life, they're prepared.
Oh my gosh, so well said. And you know, Clyde, I like to let former student athletes kind of toot their own horn. Do you want to shout out maybe some of your stats? I mean, as a basketball player, I'm just curious, like, what type of basketball player were you? What position did you play? Because I'm curious, from some of the people that I've interviewed, I've noticed a lot of them played point guard. And I guess, you know, as a point guard, you're a leader on the floor. But I'm just curious, I mean, what were your basketball stats back when you were a player?
I was a guy, you know, my stats right there, I was like a 10-point player, you know, 12-point per game. I was a shooting guard. But was a wonderful thing about stats aside, because you can have great stats and not have a great team.
That's true. We have a great team.
And that's what I remember the most about playing. I was a shooting guard, and when I was called upon to do what I needed to do, I contributed to that success of that team. Wins are finite. Success is eternal. And we had success over the 4 years I was there, getting into the NCAA playoffs two out of the 4 years and going on to some other season tournaments. So I enjoyed my time. And you know what? You don't realize, and I try to impress this upon our student athletes, you get 4 years of college eligibility, but you got to work someplace for 40 years. I'm approaching 40 years in this business. So what's the bigger picture? So you need to understand and value what you have at that moment. And it's all about the moment, because now is the moment that never ends. And I tried to get them to understand to be in the now, because it changes. You know, the moment is eternal, but it has finality. And everything comes to an end at one time or the other. So what we have now, Kelsey, is instilling them in providing them, you go back to the future. So you talk about what I did as a student athlete. It was great. And one day they're going to be former student athletes also too. So they got to look back on their careers and say, okay, I did this. But what are you doing now? You're only as good as your last success story. So you got to move forward in that success paradigm to continue to have success. So when I played with a great bunch of people. I played with a great forward named Kelvin Hicks, who went on, was drafted by the Knicks, went on to Switzerland and had a 16-year career over there. Curtis Sumter, with some great Division II players. We went up against a great Division II team in Virginia Union and with Doug Robbins as the coach over there, and we had just one hell of a basketball game. And it always sticks in my mind as a great experience, win or lose. It's unfortunate we lost the game, but it was a blessing to be in the game.
Right. I mean, you guys got there. You talked about it. And I love what you said about being in the moment. And that transitions me to my next question. So I'm curious, you talked about being in the moment. So what would you say specifically differentiates athletics at Bowie State University from other CIAA schools?
Nothing, really. We're all doing the same thing. I mean, we have different missions, maybe, or different academic majors that we offer at our schools. There's different resources, different locations. But at the end of the day, it's all the same. I don't care if you're at Duke, BSU, Elizabeth City, UCLA. We're all about education. And that's what the driving force should be. So they have certain, there's different dynamics of schools. There's Catholic-based schools. There's comprehensive schools. There's engineering schools. So that's what I like when students are coming to ask me about college. I always say, you got to get a fit. You got to know, try to understand what you want to do with the rest of your 40 years of working. So this is now preparing you for that time. So you got to get into a college. Just don't go for sports. Go for the whole fit. So it's something that, you know, academically and athletically, I'll be able to do in my short period of time as a college student. But then after that, what do I want to do with my career after that? So these schools, we're all the same. We're just different locations, different majors, you know, same type of professors. We're all driving to make students the best they can be.
Right. And you talked about making students the best they could be, which, of course, I know is the goal probably, as you said, of all CIAA schools and really, I hope, all colleges as a whole. But if you had to say in one sentence what your goal would be for all students, athletes to leave the university with once they graduate, what would that goal be in one sentence?
To enjoy the moment.
I love that. You are full of, I'm saying so many things you're saying are like full of quotes. Like, I feel like in the future, you're going to have so many just noteworthy quotes that people can pull from. But now I kind of want to get a little bit controversial, just because recently in the news, I mean, we all heard it by now, Hampton made the decision to leave the MEAC to join the Big South Conference after 22 years with the MEAC. So I'm just curious, I know you're in the CIAA, but I want to hear your opinion on how you think this move, if you think at all, will it affect HBCU sports?
No, HBCU sports has been around a long time. Hampton used to be part of the CIAA. When they left and Norfolk left and those schools left to start the MEAC, CIAA didn't fall apart. Their readjustment, everybody readjusts. So there's going to be some readjustments to what the MEAC is going to do. I wish Hampton well because they obviously took a long time to make a decision that was best for their institution. They felt that, I guess, the MEAC wasn't giving them certain things that they felt that the Big South can now give them. And God bless them because everybody, you, me, I drive one kind of car, you drive another kind of car. I live in this neighborhood, you live in that neighborhood. So everybody has to make decisions and choices for themselves. They made a choice. And I'm quite sure after talking to the alumni and talking to the faculty and everybody, they felt this was a good choice for them at the time. And I wish them well. The MEAC will recover. Either they will find other schools or they'll do other things. They'll readjust how they align themselves, but they'll recover and they'll go on. So one school leaving a conference does not impact a conference as a whole. And we've seen the explosion, the imploding of conferences when the Big East left and all those other people were jumping around.
Yeah.
And it was all about money at that time.
Hampton
felt that there was a fit that they wanted to achieve on a lot of different levels. And I don't really want to get into that as far as what those could have been, but for whatever their rationale was, they felt that it was time to leave the MEAC.
Right. And I mean, I think you said it well. And of course, they thought it was the best decision for them. I know not everybody's happy. It's hard. I mean, I was at the University of Maryland when they decided to make the move to the Big Ten. So of course you had some people, you know, like, why are we doing this? We love ACC, especially when it comes to basketball season. But as you were saying, I knew it was kind of about the money. And I think as we see with Maryland, you know, people will get over it. And then I think I wish Hampton the best as well. I know not everybody's happy with it, but I just say give them a chance and see how it, you know, turns out. But also I would say look at the full, you know, reason why they made that decision. And just out of curiosity, I know some people at their schools have said, like, after Hampton made that decision, they had people calling them asking about, you know, if their school would stay in their conference. I'm curious, did anybody contact you maybe about, you know, if Bowie State, whatever, like, and I know it's probably something you never thought about, but, you know, did you get any calls maybe about would Bowie State stay in the CIAA? Were people, like, nervous at all, or do you think it was just something that didn't even affect Bowie State in general?
I think that ripple effect didn't even reach Bowie State University.
Okay.
I wouldn't even give it a second thought because
you wouldn't even
maintain ourselves on a Division II level. We wouldn't even think about a Division I level sports where you have to have a lot more funding than we could afford at this particular time. So Hampton has a rich endowment. They have a real rich base, alumni base. So I'm quite sure that that all was thought out and put in place before they even made this move to the Big South. So it's fun. It's going to be interesting to see what other schools maybe do in the MEAC to see if they would make any adjustments to what they do right now. But as far as Bowie State University is concerned, we enjoy our moment here in the CIAA. It's got a rich tradition. I'm blessed to have this opportunity to be in the moment working with my colleagues, ADs, FARs, student-athletes, senior women administrators. The conference office is outstanding, led by Commissioner Jackie McWilliams with her associates, Eddie Wetherington and Marcus Clark and Marcus Grant, Suzette McQueen. It's a wonderful group of people working towards a common goal of student development.
Wonderfully said. And I want to stay on this topic of financials. So recently a Washington Post article alluded to the fact that Division II teams can fund up to 36 full scholarships. But the article also pointed out that Bowie State doesn't have the funds for even half that number and currently divides 10 and a half scholarships among its roster. So with that being said, I'm curious to know, I mean, how are you still able to build a competitive football team, you know, with a kind of scholarship number cut by a third, and how does this transcend down to other sports in the conference and really at Bowie State University? Like, you know, how does it affect recruiting that you can't give as many scholarships as other Division II schools?
Well, first and foremost, it's not easy when you have limited resources and you're trying to attract young men and women to come to your school because everyone is chasing a dollar. So because of our in-state tuition, our 10 scholarships go a lot further than perhaps if we were at a private institution. That's why most of our young men and women are from the state of Maryland. And there are other scholarships that they can glean from the admissions process. So we try to find student athletes who are academically motivated and have good grades so they can be rewarded with academic scholarships. And that famous word, we bundle. We do the best we can with the academic package. And there's other scholarships that we work with the admissions office that become available to our student athletes. We have a lot of commuter students. So a lot of folks stay home or stay off campus. So it cuts down the cost. So we're just looking at tuition dollars. But we're on a mission right now through our fundraising efforts. We have the 100K Club, which is under our institutional advancement. We're trying to raise funding for our programs to increase our scholarship base so we can maintain this success that we're having right now. And we know if we don't do those things that we could lose a momentum, and we don't want to lose momentum, and we want to have success. And I'm not going to say we're going to win every year, but at a high level of being the players, but we want to maintain success where we have a caliber program that's offering students the best that we can offer them and going out and getting the best dollar so we can offer the best dollar. So it is a test. Coach Wilson is out working really hard. We're working with our alumni base. We're trying to improve fundraising efforts so we can get more money in so we can increase our scholarships. And that's one goal. The other goal is to put money into our operations so we can help support our athletes from an academic perspective, from a facilities perspective, so that they be more inclined to have a better experience when they come to Bowie State University, because we got young people that are very, you know, when they see things, they're very visual, and that's where they want to be. So, you know, we got to make it appropriate for them also, too, that they enjoy their experience here. The school does a great job of helping us and everyone around us with improving the infrastructure with facilities. We got a nice field. We just was able to put in a nice locker room 2 years ago down on the football field. It's lighted, it's turf. We want to do improvements to the press box and the stands. But those things are going to come along for sponsorships to improve that.
Right.
As you go along. And, you know, Kelsey, I've learned along in the Division II and the Division III model that if you have a nice infrastructure, kids will buy into that. They will say, look, okay, give me a little bit of money. I can spend the rest because this is where I want to be. You know,
right.
Division I, you know, I hate to use the term they're buying players, but, you know, they go into the highest bidder. You know, there's very marquee players, and they got demand, you know, and they're marketable.
Right.
You're trying to market yourself. You know, you need to have a nice look where someone's going to say, look, this is some place where I want to be. So we're trying to improve what we have here from a lot of perspectives. Academically, I just hired an academic enhancement coordinator to work with student athletes where they get that one-on-one attention. We're improving our training room. We just redid some of the locker rooms, all the locker rooms in our James complex. So we're doing things to make ourselves more attractive, you know?
Right.
So, and then again, some people say, this is where I want to be. Our success is now projecting beyond Maryland because I get calls from people in New Jersey and New York now. The social media is on fire that say, about Bowie State University. I want to come to Bowie State University. Our buses roll. People see the bulldog rolling down 95.
They can't miss it.
You know, go Dogs. So we're getting out there and we're starting to penetrate markets because of our success. And now we got to keep that success rolling.
Okay, and you talked about keep stuff rolling, and I want to stay on we talked about keeping these sports attractive. So I want to point to something that actually an article that came out from Vice Sports this summer where San Francisco-based antitrust economist and longtime critic of college sports and amateurism, Andy Schwartz, basically said that the multi-billion dollar college sports industry exploits African-American athletes and has left historically black schools behind. Now, he's one of the people that thinks that there's a better way, basically, to stop what he thinks is exploiting African-American athletes and try to get them to HBCU schools. So, basically, his idea is to form an HBCU-exclusive basketball league. Now, if people haven't heard about this, basically, it would be a pay-for-play model, and he thinks it would be a way to attract top high school recruits to HBCUs. Now, I'm just curious, do you think a pay-for-play model for basketball, at least to start, and NCAA Division I and Division II HBCU conferences, do you think that would be a way to attract more top recruits to schools like Bowie State University? Or do you think another type of model needs to be found to get those top athletes at your school?
Well, first and foremost, I don't think separating us from the rest of the world is going to make us any better and more attractive. Diversity, to me, has been a very, very for me, intrinsically, it has enabled me to understand the big picture of the world. Black folk don't live by themselves. White folk just don't live by themselves. Asians folks don't live. We all have to get along in this paradigm of life. So understanding that, I don't see those separation. I don't see the players coming to an HBCU because now you're just buying them. I don't believe in the pay-for-pay model either. I think that the rewards that you get from your scholarship and being a student athlete should be beneficial enough. I don't agree with the money on the division level. Everything it's a trickle-down effect, Kelsey, because they're looking at these big Power 5 schools and the money the ADs, the coaches are getting, millions of dollars. I don't believe any coach at any level should get that kind of money. You know, that money should be – if the school is earning that money, it should be going back into the system. Nobody should be paying for school. If you're making that kind of money, you imagine what kind of money that could be diverted – or invested into the school where people don't have to pay money and who are supporting the school or reduce the cost of them so they're not leaving that school with loans if they're making that kind of money. So I really don't believe in that model at all. I think it will do more hurt than harm. And then so what's happened with the academic piece? So now we're just buying players for that academic performance, athletic performance, and we're leaving academics to the side. It's getting out of hand. And I don't believe in it at all. I had opportunities to move into a Division I environment many, many years ago. But I said, I like Division II. I have a more connection. It's more realistic for me. It's not overly a business. Education is a business. Athletics is a business. But I don't want to put the business ahead of the human resources. And that is the human person, the human being. So we have to concentrate on more of that and get away from these money-driven environments. Yes, we do need money to do certain things. But at the end of the day, we're all going to compete and get out there and play. So we have to manage our costs, keep them down as much as possible, and only spend money efficiently. You know, sometimes these folks at Division I have so much money, they don't know what to do with themselves, and they just buy things and throw money out.
Right.
Buying new buildings and, you know, giving a coach $2 million to be an assistant coach. I mean, it's one day it's going to blow up, and it's getting to that point real soon. So I like where I'm at. I don't believe in that model, and I hope that it just doesn't impact us. And I know there's a lot of discussion going on about it, because when you have that kind of money, you have the kind of corruption that we have on a lot of levels. And it's unfortunate, because everybody now associates all of that. That small percentage of folks who are making that kind of money, and I only think it's 10% that even make the kind of revenue that sustain themselves on their own. The rest of those Division I schools are too. So they're trying to keep up with the Power Fives and trying to chase a dream to get into the NCAA basketball tournament or try to compete with them football-wise, and these guys are just adding on, building more and more. It's a rat race, and I don't know where this rat race is going to.
Right, and you talked about it is a rat race, but just, I guess, for people that are just more curious about this model, because who's to say, you know, if it will go through or not? I'm kind of like you, honestly. I don't like it. I think there needs to be another way. I don't think you need to start paying these athletes, because I think that just opens up a whole nother problem of worms and opens up a whole nother can of worms. But basically, his idea would be that the league would consist of at least 16 members drawn from the four current NCAA Division I and II HBCU conferences, with institutions such as Howard and Florida A&M. But the athletes would be full-time students, and they also would be paid to play basketball between $50,000 and $100,000 a year. Moreover, they would also be allowed to endorse products, sell autographs, sign with agents, accept gifts from boosters, declare for the NBA draft, and even be drafted by NBA teams without losing their eligibility. So basically, this model that he's proposing would basically change the whole game. And I honestly don't think college athletics is ready for that type of model. But now I want to move on to this. No, go ahead.
But that's because it's not college athletics at that point. If you're endorsing things and you're getting paid, you're a semi-pro or you're a professional athlete at that time. And and I don't understand that, because there's opportunities. You don't have to go to college to play basketball.
That's true, and that's what you would open up.
Yeah, you can go play basketball. There's the D League and all those other things. No one's saying that you have to go to college to play basketball.
You can go overseas.
You can go overseas. Right. There's a lot of places that you can pursue your professional careers. College is for people to come for an educational-based opportunity. And after that, your extracurricular activities, be it sports, be it fraternities, be it student government, be it the band, be it other clubs, that's what college is all about. And then if you want to pursue it, there's people who have left college, they feel unfulfilled for other reasons outside athletics. They go into the business world. They go into other areas that don't require them to have a degree, perhaps. So why all of a sudden athletics, because of the money, everybody's now focusing on paying people because they're getting abused? But there's a lot of abuse going both ways. I mean, a lot of student athletes who say they're abused, they take a lot of money when they know they're not taking the money. So it's not just a one-way street all the time with these problems.
Right. Like you said, it's so much going on. Honestly, I think there's no quick way to put a Band-Aid over it. I think it really needs to be studied, but I just don't think that's the right way. Because like you said, then you're changing the whole game. You're not going to college then. Like you said, there's other avenues, but then you're becoming semi-professional or professional. And like I said, I feel like that's just too complicated for right now. But now I want to get into the fun part of the show. Let's talk about what's going down today, as your Bowie State football team at 9-1 will host their first ever playoff game against the Delta State Statesmen, who are 8-3 from the Gulf South Conference in the NCAA Super Region 2 Round 1. Now, the Division 2 football regular season is in the books. 28 teams are continuing to play, but only one will earn the title of the 2017 national champions. Your Bulldogs are led by quarterback Amir Hall. Hall leads the nation in touchdown passes and ranks third in passing yards. So basically, if you don't know Amir Hall, I don't know where you've been, because this man can ball out and play. Boy, really, you guys are loaded with a very talented team. The school placed a conference high 10 players on the all-CIAA team. But get this, Bowie Bay's last appearance in the NCAA regional play in 2015, they failed on the road to Assumption by a score of 51-29. I feel like this was kind of the redemption year, and I'm rooting for the Bulldogs. But my first question to you, Clyde, is what is your belief into why people are just now finding out about this Bowie State team that's really been blowing it up and doing it good on the field all season? Like, why are people now just tuning in to the Bowie State Bulldogs?
Well, our fans have always known for the last 2 or 3 years that we have a good quality program that we put on that football field. Winning breeds attention. We have won. When you have a quarterback like Amir Hall and what he's doing, record-setting performance, but he has not done that alone. He'll be the first one to tell you he couldn't do it without his offensive line. He couldn't do it without the defense.
Right, it's a team effort.
Back the ball. He couldn't do it without Chesham running, the wide receivers catching the ball. So it's not – football is such the team sport, more than any other sport that I have ever encountered. You know, you can get a basketball player out there and he can be a superstar. He can carry a team. And it's happened,
right,
as you can see. But if no one's blocking for you, I don't care how great you are. If no one's catching the
right
ball, how well you can throw
far.
You're not going to get very far at all.
Right,
so
exactly.
If they can't stop anybody, you're never going to get the ball back. So
that too.
Ultimate team sport, and it's really amazing to see how these young men have come together. They have listened to Coach Wilson, listened to Coach Ware, listened to Coach Sewell, listened to Coach Reddix and the rest of the coaching staff, and have bought in that each person has to do their job in order for us to be successful. So it's a blessing that we're at this time that people now are focusing in and saying, wow, what's going on over there at Bowie State University? And that's what goes back to us maintaining our momentum and keep this rolling, so we just don't say it's a one-shot wonder and then we don't hear anything from anybody. We want to keep this going. Coach Wilson wants to win a national championship. That's what
right.
we're driven to do. But we're going to do it within the confines of the rules and play as aggressively and as fair as we should to and with sports, with high levels of sportsmanship. So it's a blessing, like I said, that we are getting this attention, and it's because folks have decided to come to Bowie State University. Amir Hall probably had a lot of other choices, but because he stepped on campus and he saw that he had an opportunity to be who he has become and brought it forth to the system, it is now breeding success across the board. And his confidence now trickles down to everybody on that team. He is the greatest young man ever. You would never think that he's so modest. He's so easygoing.
Aww.
He's always involved with everybody on the team, always has something positive to say about everything he does and everybody else in that program. So that's the kind of young man you want around you all the time. Always got a smile on his face. He's very polite. You know, this whole success is not going. He comes from a great family. They are supportive. They understand. His father is very diligent in making sure that Amir Hall is a gentleman before he's a football player, is a gentleman before he's a student. And if you're a gentleman or you're a young lady, you project yourself and purport yourself in that fashion, you got the world by its horns.
Right. I mean, I love that you said he's modest, because if people don't know, I mean, I'm glad, because honestly, so many times you meet these quarterbacks, and sometimes they have egos. Not that it's bad to have it, but I feel like your team will respect you more when you just respect the team as a whole. Because like you said, football is a team sport. But let me break down some of the stats that quarterback Amir Hall, who ranks number one in the nation, accounting for 45 touchdowns this year, 39 with his arm and 6 with his leg. Let me just break down some of his stats for people that might have missed out on Amir Hall. So for the regular season, he finished with 3,187 yards passing, number 3 in the nation, 39 touchdowns, number 1 in the nation, and 390 yards on 6 rushing touchdowns. This man is the real deal. Numbers never lie, people. And now that's pretty much all the data you need. But in saying all that, I'm just curious to know, like, the team is obviously trying to make history. So how are you and the coaches, you know, basically trying to keep the pressure off them, but also, of course, motivating to hopefully bring home that championship?
Well, first of all, Kelsey, athletes always pressure themselves. They're always trying to be better every time mm-hmm. they step to the field. So being nice aside, when he steps on that field, he's all business, as you can see from his So right then and there, he knows he's very talented. And every day he goes to practice, and every day these young men come to practice, they want to get better every day. And that's the key, you know. And as you say, we're getting better every day. It's just like this week. This week has been business as usual. Last time we got into the playoffs against Assumption, everybody was, all giddy and everything, and everybody was trying to do everything. No. We've been there, done that. We went to the first round already, and we came up short. This year, we're here, we're home, we're ready, we're focused, and we know what we have to do because we want to play on the 25th. In order to play on the 25th, what do you got to do? You got to win tomorrow. So we're on a mission to win tomorrow, show everybody that 9-1 wasn't a fluke.
Right, it's the real deal.
It's the real deal. Thank you, Kelsey. I mean, it's the real deal. We want to be the real deal dog.
You guys out. I like that, the real deal dog.
We want to be the real deal dog tomorrow. So we're going to go out there and show everybody in this DMV in Division II that Bowie State University is the real deal dogs.
And I think you guys are going to have it. I mean, if you guys haven't been following Bowie State University, yes, they're a Division II team that is ranked 14th in the country. Get this, averaging 56 points a game. You guys, I'm talking about the football team. They're averaging 56 points a game. I mean, it's crazy. And they average more than 582 yards ahead of every NCAA team besides Oklahoma, people. And if that's not enough, they hit a cool 86 points on homecoming, breaking a 42-year-old school record. So just going off of that, with all these things going on with the football team, can you kind of describe what is morale like around the football team at campus right now?
It's very high. They're very confident in themselves. When you talk about numbers that you just talked about, it's not by accident. You know, no one's giving you anything. So they've earned every point that they received and put on that board. So they're very proud of those records. But at the end of the day, they're in the books. We have to write a new book right now. So they're moving forward to see what we can do to continue this momentum. What do we have to do to march through the playoffs and add to the numbers that we've already produced throughout the year? So they're very excited. Like I said, it's been business as usual. They're very quiet. I really haven't seen them, to tell you, to be perfectly honest with you, because they're very focused on what they're doing. They're concentrating, getting in, getting their rest, getting their sleep, because they know they have to be mentally sharp and physically prepared. Because Delta State's coming in here, and they're not going to give us anything. And we're going to have to earn it. You know, no one. If they just gave out awards, we wouldn't even have a playoff situation here. You're number one, you're number two, you know, blah, blah, blah. But no, you have to feel and earn it, and you have to win. And they know they have to execute. They got to limit their turnovers. They got to be sharp. They got to seize the opportunity when it's time to score. We have a great kicker this year who has done, Gene, he has done an outstanding job. On the kickoffs, you know, and the punter has done a great job. So every team, offensive team, defensive team, special team, have all come together as one powerful fist of efficiency to bring us to this point for this playoff game tomorrow.
Right. I mean, you talked about efficiency. That's what you all are doing. You're leading the country in yards and points. And honestly, Clive, I have to keep checking the stats to see, is there anything this Bowie State team can do wrong? And the only battle you guys are really losing was the time of possession battle. But who cares if you won the game, honestly? So it's been working. But I think, obviously, if they can clean that up, I think Bowie State is on to something. But being on to something, Clive, I'm a DMV girl. And I'm from Montgomery County. But I love something that I found out about your Bowie State football team. 80 players on the team's roster for Saturday's game. 77 of them are from Maryland or the district. 36 of them specifically are from Prince George's County, or some like to call Pretty Girl County. I mean, the offensive line, you have the Bang Five, who are all from Prince George's County. You guys basically, I don't know how, but you went around the DMV and basically picked up all the good players, because basically your whole team is from Maryland or the district. I mean, how do you think that kind of has built, I guess teamwork among the team together? But then how do you also think that helps recruiting? Because I've always said the DMV has always been a hotbed for some of the best student athletes, especially football in the country. I mean, how do you think just that DMV portion of it has really helped this football team?
Two things. I'm going to go back to your last statement first about the time possession. Mm-hmm. When you score so quickly, you're not going to have time possession, but you're putting points on the board. So that's why we don't have the time of possession, because they're on the attack. I mean, they get the ball and they're gone. You know, Chesham's running 95.
Destroying defenses.
Destroying defenses. When you got somebody throwing those kind of yards, you're not going to have time of possession. And I'll take the points over the time of possession. That's one point.
Me and you both, yep.
When we talked about earlier about scholarship dollars and utilizing them efficiently, a lot of the players that we attract are right here and in-state tuition, and the costs are reduced for us. So that's why we're able to get them to come to Boise State University. One.
Right.
Two, these young men have known each other throughout high school. They've played against each other. They played together. They know each other. So it's like a homecoming for them of sorts when they get on campus. So that whole picture adds to why we have so many local young men and women in our athletic department. And even the ones that we try to recruit who go away. Sometimes, you know, the environments are different than you're used to back here in the DMV, and you go, I got to go home. Or something might happen.
Right.
I got to go home. And when you go home, where am I going to finish my college career? Bowie State University. Let me go over there. And we accept them with open arms. Coach is always willing to take back young men. I mean, look, we had a young man from Purdue transfer in here. He's an offensive lineman, Jalen. His sister goes here and plays volleyball. She loved the place. Said, look, Jalen, there's a place for you to come and finish out your last year eligibility. And he has absolutely loved his time here at Bowie State University. So there's a lot of factors going into why we're able to keep these young men and women close to home here in Maryland, in the DMV, in Prince George's County. And if you come in, when I first came down here from New York and I looked, I really didn't know what to, when I walked on campus, it's a beautiful campus.
It is gorgeous.
It really is gorgeous. And the area, Prince George's County, is absolutely gorgeous as well. So you don't want for anything, and then you're 20 minutes from D.C., you're 20 minutes from Baltimore, you're 20 minutes from Annapolis. I mean, you're right here in the epicenter of everything that's going on. So you want for nothing. So it's a beautiful place to continue your education.
I mean, I feel like we're seeing that, of course, like these football players getting their education and winning games. And, of course, we hope they win the game this Saturday. And, I mean, Clyde, you were such a wonderful guest. And I hope you don't mind concluding the last portion of my show that I like to do, and that is my Woman Crush Wednesday. And for my WCW, I would like to award this award to the one and only NFL reporter, Stacey Dales, who basically had to clap back at a Twitter troll after she tweeted, I know it's early, but early happened to him. Lonzo Ball is the most overhyped player I have ever seen. May he catch his stride. And a young man actually tweeted back to her, stick to the NFL, please. Now, Clyde, as a sports reporter, I have faced this sometimes. Some people say, oh, you haven't played the game. You don't know what you're talking about. And then some people think for some reason still in 2017, if you're a female, you don't know about sports. I don't know why. It still bamboozles me to this day, because I think, of course, now you should have seen women playing sports, and many women can play sports just as well as men. But I think now on social media, obviously, it's made trolls kind of feel more powerful, right? Because you're not right in somebody's face. But I think women and really everybody needs to continue to support each other and make sure these Twitter trolls don't have a place to really speak out and get that support. I think you need to shut them down quickly so they won't do it again. So I want to congratulate Stacey for clapping back at him. And actually, I want to, you know, say more people need to support. Now, Warren Sapp actually demanded that the guy apologize to her. So I think that's also something that needs to happen. I think more men as well need to step up and support women in sports and make sure this type of stuff doesn't happen. And I'm sure you at Bowie State, Clyde, I'm sure you always say that. You know, you want the same respect for the women's sports as the men's sports, and, you know, you want everybody to be treated equal. So I want to congratulate Stacey for that. And Clyde, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I mean, it was such a fun conversation. And, of course, go Dogs tonight.
Well, Kelsey, thank you very much. I had a great time, and I applaud you for what you do. And I come from a single-parent household, so my mother's very, very close to me. And just because you don't play a certain sport, that don't mean you can't observe and learn what you do and anything else.
Exactly.
It's like getting into cooking. It's not a woman's job. It's not a man's job. It's just something that you want to do. So anything a man can do, a woman can do. So I applaud you. And, you know, sometimes when people act in that fashion, to me, one of the most important things I can do is ignore them. When people start getting out of pocket, I just ignore them, because if I start getting into a firefight with them, especially on social media, I'm justifying their existence, and I don't want to justify their existence.
Right, right.
So, and then I don't have to defend something that I shouldn't have to defend. So you should never have to defend.
That's what it comes back
your
to.
Your intelligence, your drive to do what you do. So you just keep doing what you do, and the proof, your body of work will speak for itself.
Well, I appreciate that. That was so well said. And of course, I hope everybody comes out today to support the Bulldogs at 1 p.m. as we hope they get the win against Delta State. And for everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listening with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is also available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.